We have got four statements so far. One is, the Shastra of Integral Yoga is already in the heart of every individual who is thinking and living. You remember the first sentence about the Shastra of Integral Yoga. It is the eternal Veda which is in the heart of each and every individual. So that even if nobody is there in the world to tell you about it, even if no book exists in the world, even then, as you move forward and you refer to your inner heart, the integral yoga will manifest on its own. You don't need anything, no book, no teacher, you don't need anything because it is already in your heart. It's the first statement about integral yoga. The second statement is that many people require a word, shabda, the word, the revelation. It may be an oral word or a written word. So this is the second way of shastra, a written shastra or an oral shastra. Now, even of the written shastras, there are two. The scriptures, which are revealed by the Divine Himself. There is also the shastra. The other one, not revealed, but scientifically codified. We made a distinction yesterday between Veda on the one hand and Sutra of Patanjali. Veda is a revealed scripture, whereas Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, that book, is a scientific code. So shastras can be of two kinds. Oral or written, and both of them can be scriptures or scientific codes. Lastly, there is a need of a word coming from a living teacher. There may be an oral tradition or there may be a written tradition. But apart from that, it may also come to you through the teaching of a teacher. A teacher reveals. As you move forward, the teacher comes at every stage and says, now you reach here, you move forward there. That is also shastra. Shastra coming out of the teacher as you move forward. So this is what we have been told, and finally Sri Aurobindo says that integral yoga has a speciality which is not available anywhere, and that is to declare that all life is yoga. Meaning thereby that whatever is the result of inconscient can be eliminated from life and the entire life can become divinized. This is a speciality of the integral yoga, the entire life. Life is always integral. Whenever you do any little thing which is living, you'll find that all your elements of your being are present. Life is always many-sided, multi-sided, all-sided. There are basically three sides of our life. the cognitive side. Cognitive means that which is concerned with knowledge. Cognitive side. There is affective side. Affective. Not effective, but affective. There is affection. Everyone has affection. Feeling, emotion. And everyone has conation. Conation means inclination to act. All the three elements are present in every activity of life. Cognitive, affective, conative. Knowledge, emotion, and action. You take any movement of life, you will find these three elements present. It is by artificiality that you may divide one from the other. But in life, all the three are present, all the time. It is integral always. Therefore, the natural method, where life is the instrument of yoga, that method has to be integral. And then finally Sri Aurobindo says that the integral yoga, even though it has general lines of development, every individual individualizes integral yoga in his own manner. Right? This is the summary of the entire chapter so far that we have done about Shastra. Now we come to the next. This is regarding utsaha, the role of the sadhaka himself. You may have the knowledge of the Shastra, but if you don't have aspiration, then the Shastra is a dead letter. There must be enthusiasm in the individual to pursue the goal of integral yoga. Now, what is the role, therefore, of the individual himself? In ancient India, there is a very important system. The pupil was required to search out a teacher, not like the present system where teacher is appointed first and then waits for the pupils to come. Pupils don't have to make a big effort to find out teachers. They are available in the schools. But such was not the case in ancient India. The very system was such that a pupil had to find out. He had to move onwards and onwards in search of a teacher. So the starting point was not the teacher, but the pupil. So apart from Shastra, the starting point of yoga is the pupil himself. The pupil has to lift his hand in a manner of call. Then the teacher may come from above and may lift him up. The role of the teacher is only uplifting, not lifting. Lifting has to be done by the pupil himself. He lifts himself up, calls out, aspires. Then teacher also answers. Uplifting the effort of the pupil is the instruction, example, and influence of the teacher. This is the relationship between pupil and the teacher. If the teacher has no enthusiasm, then pupil will find that the teacher does not come forth. So Sri Aurobindo now says, what is the role of the pupil? What is the role of the effort? What is the role of aspiration? The development of the experience in its rapidity, its amplitude, the intensity and power of its results depends primarily in the beginning of the path and long after on the aspiration and personal effort of the sadhaka. How far you will move in the yoga, what kind of results, what fullness of experiences you will get, what will be the results, this will depend upon, in the beginning at least, and even after beginning, for a long time after, it will depend upon the pupil. This is a very good warning to every student. Do not blame. Make an effort on your side. Be sure the teacher will be always there. You know, this is the example which we find in the Mahabharata. Arjuna came to a crisis and simply declared, "I will not fight." And Sri Krishna simply smiled and rebuked him as a friend would rebuke a friend, not as a teacher. Then he suddenly found, when he really became critical in his mind, he asked, made an aspiration, lifted his hand and said, "Please tell me what is the right thing to do." And then he suddenly found that the one with whom he was standing was himself a teacher. The moment you aspire, you will find the teacher, always standing near you. This is the promise of God to man, that he has arranged the world in such a way that when you are really in crisis, when you really want a teacher, the teacher will come. He is available. But on your part, you should be aspiring. You must aspire and say, "Oh, I want to know." The teacher is always there. So, in this process of yoga, the individual aspires. He makes a personal effort.